Now, on the line, I have Eamon Murphy, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland. And we're going to be chatting about Social Justice Ireland's call for the next few budgets to focus primarily on employment, infrastructure and services, and not on reducing the deficit. Good morning, Eamon. How are you?
Not bad. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm in great form. I was out for 12 holes of golf before I came into the studio this morning, so I'm smiling and happy.
Well, that's great to hear.
So maybe you'd start off and tell us, tell the listeners, first of all, who are Social Justice Ireland? And then maybe tell us about your call on the next budget.
So we are an independent policy think tank. Our focus, as the name suggests, is on issues of social justice. We do research within our organisation and then try to influence government policies in various areas. We cover a lot of broad range, everything from taxation and welfare through to healthcare, education and stuff on the environment. And I guess the latest report that we put out, which is earlier in the week, our budget briefing. I suppose your listeners might be wondering, how are we already up to a point in the year when we're already talking about the budget? It's not till October. We've already been listening to so many months of government formation. But now is the time to be influencing the government's views on what the priorities should be in budget 2021. And we put out a briefing in the week focusing on all those policy areas and more. And I guess our key message in relation to that is that, you know, given the economic suffering that's taken place as a result of the lockdown, there may be a temptation within government to repeat some of the mistakes of the past that took place 12 years ago during the last recession, which was, of course, caused by something completely different, but that we don't want to make the same mistakes in sort of increasing taxation and cutting expenditure and kind of feeding into a negative economic spiral that will only lead to a greater decrease in jobs and well-being that would be necessary. We think the focus on the forthcoming government should be on stabilisation, first of all, to maintain as much productive capacity as possible for the short and medium term. And the way to do that is to borrow to plug any hole in the government's budget coming up. In Ireland, we can borrow very cheaply at the moment on international markets. And we need to maintain a focus on employment for the short to medium term to ensure that jobs that are viable under normal circumstances are not lost because of silly, unnecessary decisions like we made 12 years ago. That we need to acknowledge that a huge amount of borrowing will be necessary over the last 3 years and probably more again after that. But also to say that borrowing is eminently affordable and is the correct thing to do for the future of the Irish economy and for society. So basically asking the government to take a step back and make a sensible decision with a long-term view, not just trying to balance the budget over the next few years, but that a focus on employment generation and delivering services and infrastructure should be the main focus of budgets over the next 3 years.
Yeah, there's an old adage in business is never waste a good crisis. And I think
Absolutely. In
some ways that it sits in here quite well, is that the government have an opportunity to actually reform a lot of the ways that we're doing things, from the health system, the two-tier health system that we have. I was kind of a bit disappointed that when they took in charge the private hospitals, that they didn't think about keeping them in the public system. And it would have encouraged more, because I know it's a government ambition to have a one-tier health system, or so they say it is. But things like that should be done. Is there anything else do you see that they should be looking at?
Yeah, well, you're right about that. I mean, it was Milton Friedman who said that only a crisis produces real change, and that when these crises occur, you know, the actions that government takes, they depend on the ideas that are lying around and look good. So, like, what he said was that the basic function of think tanks like ourselves was to keep alternative ideas alive and make sure that when the time comes where people are it's in a crisis such as this, are looking around for new alternatives, new ideas for doing things, the politically impossible can become the politically inevitable. And that's sort of a good summary of what's happened, I think, over the last 3 or 4 months. It's given people an opportunity to re-examine how we view society and decide for themselves whether this is actually a just way of doing things. And one of the big things in that was in relation to the healthcare system. That I think it showed something that Social Justice Ireland has been arguing for a few years, that the current state of affairs, the status quo, if you will, it exists because of policy decisions that are made. It's not the result of some inevitability of how societies go. There's a reason that Ireland is the only country in Western Europe without a fully accessible, universal, single-tier healthcare system, and astute policy decisions that have been made in the past. And we were told that a universal, single-tier healthcare system was long a way away. All of a sudden, overnight, a decision was taken to nationalise the private hospitals. And we had what we've been longing for in this country for decades, almost overnight. Now, it is a shame that things have to go back to the status quo for a while. But like, what people should realise is that these things are eminently possible if the political will is there. And the political will was there at the beginning of this pandemic. And the same goes for an awful lot of other aspects of how we do business in society. We talked about how Ireland's been like a laggard as regards our climate action ambitions and targets over the last few years. And a lot of people would say that that's a result of, the difficulty of making changes to how we structure society. Again, what we saw with the government's ability to lock down certain aspects of industry and transportation, almost overnight, we were like, it's not going to be a permanent one, but we've seen cuts to the emissions that Ireland was responsible for. So again, a lesson that when needs must, government can take action to produce ends that are favourable. All that's really missing sometimes is the political will. And I guess the other kind of key thing that, from our point of view, that the government's reaction to the pandemic showed was that this idea that the social welfare rates, as they're currently standing, one of the first things the government did when the economy went into lockdown was to bring in a special €350 a week pandemic unemployment payment. Now, what that says to us is that the current rate, the normal rate of the dole or unemployment benefit, if you want to call it that, of €203 a week, it's not enough. And if it wasn't enough during the pandemic, it was never enough. So people who were reliant on social welfare, whether short or long term, they were being asked to live on an amount that's like practically half of what the government granted to people who lost their jobs during the pandemic. Now, we think it was absolutely right that they brought in that €350 a week payment. The point was to mitigate the hardship that people who had lost their jobs temporarily would experience. But it does, it does show that there's an acknowledgement amongst government circles that the current rates of payment are not enough to sustain somebody at a level above the poverty line. And in fact, the €203 a week is almost €80 below the current poverty line. So I guess what this crisis has provided is an opportunity for us to re-examine what our priorities are. I mean, we've got this report, Sláinte Care, which is like backed by all political parties and is supposed to point a pathway towards a universal healthcare system. It's been in existence for 3 years now, and yet there's been almost no movement on it. Time will tell. I guess we see the new programme for government has produced a goal of implementing that single-tier universal healthcare system. The proof of the pudding of these things is in the eating, of course, and it'll be interesting to see whether the current government that's just been formed will pursue that goal of universal healthcare with the vigour that's needed and provide the funding. So that's what it's all about. Can we put our money where our mouth is and put the money up? It's going to cost several billion euros to change the structure, but can we do it? I mean, the question is that we always would have advocated that given the low rates of return on borrow at the moment, that they should be borrowing to fund this kind of investment. It's now more imperative than ever. In fact, it's absolutely necessary given the need to provide some kind of employment stimulus to Ireland over the next 2 to 3 years and kind of maintain that productive capacity I mentioned at the beginning.
And this is an observation of my own, and it's very general, is that in this country, and I'm going to talk about left and right, both sides, we have a big problem in this country that we don't like change. neither side, neither left nor right, like change. And they want to keep doing things as they've always done. And there isn't a great appetite to change things. If people are comfortable, particularly if somebody is in a position of power or in a job for a long time, they just don't want to change. They want to keep doing it that way. They feel comfortable. That's their comfort zone. And people in this country don't like getting out of it.
Yeah, I guess it goes back to what I was saying there, in that very often it's only a crisis that can produce real change. Because and what I was saying as well about, you know, the status quo as it is at the moment, it's the result of policy decisions. It's not because it's impossible for us to achieve the goals of really good services and infrastructure and minuscule poverty rates that, you know, that we aspire to. It's not because we can't get there, because other countries very much like us in Europe have gotten there. So what is it that makes Ireland exceptional? Well, I guess you could say that there's an awful lot of people in positions right now who benefit from things that they currently stand. One of the things that springs to mind most is the very privileged position of some consultants with the contracts that they have within the healthcare system. And it is totally against their interests to bring in the universal healthcare system that the majority of Irish people would want. And that they are a very powerful lobby group who are able to resist any moves towards changing those contracts that would create something of a fairer system. So that's, you know, that's something that we're up against. And of course, what again, it comes back to a question of political will. Back in the 1940s, when they were implementing the NHS in the UK, which was a great kind of system to aspire to, and one that we almost were on the verge of implementing something similar here in the 50s, the difference was between the UK and Ireland was the vigour with which the political system was willing to stand up to hospital consultants against whose interests this national healthcare system was in. We saw it here in Ireland that the government was unwilling to support Noel Brown, and he went up against the IMO, as it was at the time, and the Catholic bishops. But we saw in the UK that Aneurin Bevan, the Labour minister who was responsible for implementing it, you know, took on the vested interests, and with the interests of the common good, the general public in mind, forced through the reforms that produced it. So it's really going to be a question of how much metal does this government of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party have. It's going to be a test of that, as to whether they can put through the reforms. And I don't just mean in the healthcare system. I mean in relation to the environmental reforms that are required, any changes that might be needed to the health, to the education system. And I guess one of the key things that we'd be saying is that, structurally speaking, the Irish system is most flawed in the fact that we collect such a small proportion of our GDP in taxation and revenue for the government compared to our European peers in Western Europe, which means that we've a lot less money to spend on public services like childcare, like public transport. There's a reason our public transport network is one of the worst in Western Europe. There's a reason that childcare is the most expensive in Western Europe. That's because we don't invest the same levels as the likes of France, Belgium, Holland, Scandinavian countries. If we want that model to change, there needs to be an acceptance that we need to pay a little bit more for it. So I guess, again, the question is going to be is whether the government can convince us that that's worthwhile and whether they have the political will to force those changes through.
I think you're totally correct there. But one of the other things I see, and you mentioned it a couple of times, is about policy. I think in this country, when we formulate a policy, it's put down on paper, that's the policy, and we stick to that rigidly. Problem with that is a policy should be a living document, and it should change as you move along. You know, year by year it should change. As you've reached certain goals, and that your policy should change to move you along. If you stick with the one policy that you made 5 years ago, you're only going to stay in the same position that you were 5 years ago or 4 years ago. You're never
exactly
gonna...
in position. You know, the situation has changed, and policy needs to be dynamic in order to keep up with that. Part of the issue, I guess, is that so many of our issues are the government decides to address them by commissioning reports and spending a few months paying certain consultants to produce what we already know is the answer. You know, what's the answer to the housing crisis at the moment? Well, it's build more housing, particularly more social housing, bringing people then out of the private rented sector and into affordable social housing, which will then free up space within the private rented sector, bringing rents down, you know, scaling up the capacity of the construction industry to ensure that we can meet demand. It's not rocket science, but I've seen how many policy briefings and how many reports on this over the last few years and making very little progress on it. Same goes for the other areas of policies that I mentioned. I mean, it's unfortunately a case of, a lot of the time it's a case of passing the buck from governments for wanting to make very difficult decisions or for tackling policies that are protecting problems and crises that might seem very, very difficult to solve, a bit intransigent or whatever. Again, it's really about grabbing the bull by the horns, I suppose, and accepting that. One of the key issues with the Irish system as it stands is our inability to collect the amount of revenue that we actually need. Now, I should say in relation to that I wouldn't recommend any increase in income tax, for example. I think we probably, most groups in Ireland, probably pay a sufficient amount of income tax, but areas like property and land-related taxes, which are effectively wealth taxes, they would affect only the better off in society, they would be very effective in raising additional money. And also, I think that given the fact that very low rates of effective corporation tax are being paid by certain multinationals here, it wouldn't be any harm to, not even to ask that they pay the full 12.5%, although it would be great that they did, if they did. Maybe we should implement a 6% minimum rate to make sure that everybody is paying something resembling their fair share. You don't have organisations based here in Ireland paying effective rates of 1% or 2% on their massive profits. So all of that would feed into the exchequer pot, which would be there for implementing things like that universal healthcare system that we so want for fixing the housing crisis. And, you know, maybe what we need as well in some areas is an ideological change. An acceptance that government intervention in the housing market is very important if we're going to solve it, rather than relying on the private market like they did in the UK in the 80s with Margaret Thatcher, which actually sort of began, part of the issue began with us trying to copy her policies over here and selling off so many social housing into the private sector without actually building new ones. So we need to come back from that. It's going to take a few years to do it, but hopefully that this government can see the light in that regard, realise the mistakes that were made over the last couple of decades and rectify them.
Now, I'm holding you up a lot longer than I said I would, so I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Owen, Social Justice Ireland, can you tell the listeners how they can get more information on Social Justice Ireland, but also how can they support you in your work?
Well, our website is www.socialjustice.ie. All our publications are there for free. We don't charge them because we want people who want to become informed about these things to access them, to be able to access them relatively easy. We also put a podcast out there on all the normal platforms, iTunes, Spotify, and the podcast is called Social Justice Matters. So we've got about 40 episodes up there on a range of different topics. So they can learn more in those areas. If they'd like to support us, if they like what they see on the website and in our reports and like what they hear in the podcast, they can support us by becoming a member, which you can do for as little as €5 donation every month. And you get reduced ticket prices for the events that we have. And depending on how much you contribute, you'd actually get free copies of our books as well. We publish 2 books a year. So there's information for how to join on our website. And as I say, you can do that for as little as €5 a month.
Owen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having us on, Michael.